Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another edition of TJ Radio. It's your main man, T. Foster, in the building with my brother, Jay Wells. How you doing, man?
I'm excellent, bro. Good afternoon, kings and queens. I hope everyone's having a great week.
Absolutely. It's the middle of the week. It's going well. I'm excited. I feel good having a wonderful week, so I hope everybody else is, too. So, thanks for tuning in, Solution-Based Radio. You already know how we do it. And, you know, we're just happy that you all are taking a few moments out your day to join us. And we really wanted to do something a little different today. You know, it's a lot going on in the world. It's a lot going on in the black community in general. And we usually kind of hit on those topics. But what we wanted to do today was really talk about a place that we were born and raised, a place that gets a bad reputation because we like positivity, because we like shining a bright light on things that people would otherwise like to view in a negative space. We didn't want to do that because we don't feel like that's necessarily the case. So today we are going to talk about the city of Detroit, Michigan, where both Jay Wells and I were born and raised and became the men that we are. And every time you hear something about Detroit, it's, oh, it's this, it's that, it's murder city, it's killer this, it's killer that. But a lot of good things came out of the city and come out of the city and will continue to do so. And we really wanted to talk about that. So it'll be a show where we'll talk about some crazy stuff, you know, where it wasn't that great, and then we'll talk about a lot of the good stuff that's going on. But most of all, at the end of the day, when it comes to the solution-based piece of this, we really want to talk about how we can view places where the wider community, meaning, you know, those outside of our cities, view us a certain way, and how we can turn that positive into a, you know, I mean, that negative view into a positive. And so I wanted to, you know, we really wanted to jump off into this conversation by sharing our most fond memories of growing up in the city of Detroit, where we had some great times. And, Wells, I want to allow you to have a first crack at it, my brother. You know, just share with the people one of your most fond memories of the city of Detroit, man, where everybody says if you go there, you might get killed. It's not a destination spot. It's this, that, and the third. But we know that that's absolutely not the truth. So, you know, share with the folks one of your most fond memories, man.
When I say, my brother, when I say there's so many, man, when I just think about the city of Detroit, I think about the random fun I had. And it's funny, man. I grew up in a house with roughly 12 to 14 people rotating in and out. And we did not have much of anything. But something that I can always count on, I had the most fun ever on my block, man. It's like our neighborhood. We had, obviously, you had anything that comes in an urban environment. You had your drug dealers. You had your goons around. But block ever. I swear, me and my boys, man, we would wake up 9 o'clock in the morning. This is a summer day. And this is like, it's like there's so many memories. I'm just going to give you like an idea of what we would do. On a summer day, we would wake up. Walk up and down the block, grab each one of my boys, literally pulling each other out of the bed, bro, waking people up. It's like 10 o'clock, let's say by 10:30, we already got the footballs out. We playing football from light poles to the fire hydrant. That was like, to us, that was the equivalent of playing football on a 100-yard field. We couldn't tackle in the streets, so we play sideline tackles. So we're booming each other on the grass.
Right.
Booming each other on the street. So it's two-hand touching the street, sideline tackle. We teeing off on each other. Man, it was this one game we playing. I'll never forget this. My mom is sitting on the way my grandmother's house was, it's in the middle of the block. So it was kind of like one of those moments where it was like one of those places where you kind of see it, and it's like, yo, I'm in the middle of the block, so everything is going around. Everything is going down kind of around my house. You know what I mean? So, and keep in mind, I'm in the house with my cousins there. So, it's a lot of us in the house already. So, it's like everybody kind of gravitating to our house. Like, when we play hide and seek, my porch was it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, that was like the central location. So, like, we playing football and stuff. I'm running. And keep in mind, this is a real street. You know what I'm saying? So there's cars parked. So my man Hank, he's playing QB because it's like he's playing QB. He snaps it. I'm running. I'm running for my life. He said, go deep. I said, forget it. I'm running deep. Bro, I'm running so fast. I'm running. I see the ball go up. I'm thinking I'm about to go make this catch, get this six, and I'm a stunt because my mom outside, right? Bro,
I run smack dab
into a parked car. Boom! I just felt my whole soul lift up. But it was a parked car, man. I came back. I went flying. It was like I had – '90s babies know about this. I had these – remember those Griffey gloves? Nike King Griffey gloves? I had some Griff gloves on, thinking I'm fresh. Even the gloves flew off my hand, bro.
Yeah, you got faded.
I hit the cart. I fall back. The gloves come down. I'm just planted on the ground. All I hear is my boy saying, damn, you alive? I'm like, dude, it sounds so crazy, but it was so funny. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it was no, oh, man, I messed up. You jump up and you go back to playing because you're a kid. It's all fun. It's all love. You know what I'm saying? This is my boys. We teasing each other. We laughing about it. But, bro, when I said that was like one of the funniest days ever, because it's like I just thought I was about to get some Jerry Rice on.
Yes, sir.
Then we get back up, and we just finished playing ball the rest of the day. It was like, and again, all of us, man, our entire block, it was a lack of father figures around, but it was like older dudes on the block that didn't have father figures that would find stuff for us to do. You know what I'm saying? It was like, as a unit, dog, we would just find things to do to have fun. We would party together. We would just find ways to kind of make the block fun. Bro, I'll never forget this. We found a rim in the alley, like a basketball rim in the alley, and we built a base from crates from a corner store. We built a base for a basketball hoop from a corner store. It was like the craziest thing. We found ways to build it, and we took a big piece of plywood and turned it into a backboard, and we screwed this rim to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like we were just innovative, and we just found ways to have fun. Our summer was never a wasted day in our summers. It's like just thinking about it, bro. It was like the funniest and the most entertaining times ever because we would do that literally from 8 a.m. on a summer morning till about 10 p.m. at night. And because our unit was so tight, because of the parents that were around, again, everybody had their own vices, they had their own problems. But because everybody knew where everybody was at, nobody cared, bro. We would be playing Monopoly until, this is why I'm a Monopoly addict now. Bro, we play Monopoly until 1 o'clock in the morning. We kids. It was like, we kids. And it's like my mom didn't come home from work till like 2 in the morning, so I had nobody checking for me anyway. So, bro, it would be like the greatest and the most fun. Like nobody wondered where I was at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Wondered about me. So we just playing Monopoly, and we just getting it in. And that is the type of fun that we would have. You know what I'm saying? Again, it was no drawn-out plan. There was no organized events. It was like, yo, man, let's go outside and do something. You know, and it was like the most entertaining time of our lives. It was like, and I was like, what, 12? You know what I'm saying?
Like, the best time ever.
I was like 12, man. And it's like, and you know, obviously looking back on it, you wish you did have more of a leash. But it's like at the same time, man. Those things kind of make you develop like a sense of independence and a sense of like enthusiasm and as far as like making things fun. You know what I'm saying? It was impossible to be bored. You know what I'm saying? It's like it was impossible to be bored. But I go on and on about that kind of stuff, man. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a place where people view it as if, you know, it's not a good place to be. But if you ever spend time there, and really, I view Detroit as this, you know, and I'll share my favorite memory. But I view it as just about anywhere else. You know, you get what you ask for. if you run in certain circles, then you get whatever that circle is giving out, right? So if you hang out in dope boy circles, then you're gonna get that dope boy action. If you hang out in circles where it's a lot of positivity going on and it's, you know, it's all love, then that's the action that, you know, that comes your way. And, of course, just with anywhere else, random acts of violence, random acts of anything along those lines, what, you know, are bound to happen. That, but that's anywhere. You could be in Beverly Hills and get stuck up. So that's one of the things that always bothered me, was where, you know, our city would get that stigma. But it's really all about the circles that you move in. And I think it's really key to share that. But for me, I think that the memory that sticks out for me most is back in the day when Malcolm X was popping in the early 90s, and everybody was wearing like the X hats, you know what I'm saying, and the X t-shirts, and
no doubt,
and all that. And I remember it was funny, my grandfather's wife had made, she was into making stuff, you feel me, and she made I want a Malcolm X hat. I want the whole fit. But she was like, nah, like, you know what I'm saying, we're not gonna buy that, but like I'll make you some. And I'm like, and now my grandfather's wife was white, so let me be clear about this, right? So she was like, nah, but I'll make you Malcolm X whatever. So I'm like, you know, like, this is white woman, you feel me, like, about to make me Malcolm X gear. You feel me? So she was like, I'll make you some Malcolm X shorts. And I'm like, how you going to make Malcolm X shorts? So, like, we went to little Joann Fabrics or whatever and bought the materials for the shorts. And it was, like, these black shorts with, like, the bottom of them. She made a few pair of them joints. And, like, the bottom of one of them was, like, green. And then the other bottom of them was, like, the other pair was red, you know. And then the X would be, like, the opposite color. So if the bottom was green, then the X was red and vice versa. And, like, these joints was a homegrown, bro. And I would walk through the hood and them joints feeling like I owned it. You know what I mean? And it was funny, like, it was funny the dynamics of that, like, how my grandfather's white wife made me Malcolm X shorts that I felt like a king in. And I walked through the city and I'm like, like, I owned it, and everybody was like, man, them jumps fresh, and everybody liked them. And then she wound up, like, supplying the whole hood for that summer with Malcolm X shorts, you know what I mean? Like, we was all wearing these same shorts through the city, and it was no trouble, no violence, like, you know, it was just all good. And that's the type of stuff that, in stories that really happen and take place that nobody knows about, nobody hears about, you know, it's just always, well, this happened, somebody got shot, somebody got killed, somebody got robbed, but a lot of, you know, cultural things happening, a lot of family bonding taking place, community bonding, you know, like, people started paying her for those shorts, you know what I'm saying, and because they wanted to be a part of that, and so I just think that's really important, and that was just one of those things that I'll never forget about how I would literally wear the same, I had like about a 2 or 3 pair rotation, and I would literally wear those same shorts every single day the whole summer. I know them boys was on fire, you know what I'm saying? Like, they was no good by the end of that summer, but, I mean, I really enjoyed them, and, I mean, it brought so, you know, so much to me as a young fella that I just feel like I owe it so much, but, I don't know, man. It's just interesting how it all works out. But one of the things, too, Wells, and I want to get your opinion on this, because it's funny how things come together sometimes, because sometimes the negative can outweigh the positive. But why do you think stories like that, or just in your own mind, you know, stories like that, get buried underneath the rubble of negative coverage, you know, negative media talk and all of that type of stuff? Even people from the city, don't share those stories. You know, what in your opinion, you know, why would you think that the negative outweighs the positive when it comes to the view of our city?
It always goes back, man, to the same thing, the propaganda machine that takes place. It's not just national news. It's even on the local levels. You know what I mean? It's like even on the local news, they're not going to promote and share the positive images that you hear coming from the inner city. You know what I mean? It's like that's not their job. It's like with the propaganda machine being in the situation that it is, it's designed to promote images that are showing us as animals. You know what I mean? It's like you look at Detroit now, man. They're talking about the lady that stuffed her child and her kid. She killed her kids, put them in a freezer. That's all you hear on the news coming out of Detroit.
Yeah.
When there's so many other positive things going on, man. It's like there's so many good things that are being developed, not even just developments, but on the day-to-day within our communities. There are so many positive things. I can personally vouch for four or five entrepreneurs that are doing things as far as giving back to the city and people of Detroit giving to Detroit. You know what I mean? I can think of four or five people off the top of my head right now that are doing that. And that's not the stuff that's getting promoted. And that's why it's up to us to create our own images. It goes back to that same thing. We can't count on them to take care of this for us. And my guy Kaba Kameen always talks about something that John Henry Clark said that I'm surprised that you're surprised. You know what I'm saying? It's like
we have to realize,
man, we can't let the fact that they bury our history, they bury our positive images to promote the negative. Like, man, you think about it. As much as people wanted to bang on Kwame Kilpatrick, I could name a million people in our age range that could talk about the great things he's done. He did. You know what I mean? He did a lot of dumb stuff, no knocking that. He made a lot of mishaps. But the brother did a lot of good things in the city, man. And he did a lot of – he helped set an example for a lot of young people on the personal level, you know. And it's like we kind of – that stuff gets lost in the sauce. And the propaganda machine is going to continue to do what it does. And it's up to us to kind of promote the positivity that comes out of our city, out of the metropolitan. Like I always say, like, and living in the D.C. area, dude, D.C. gets so many bad reps about the people in D.C. And it's really kind of silly because these are some of the most culturally eclectic people you'll ever meet. It's like you'll see some of the most diverse people, the most open-minded people that you'll ever encounter. And it's like the same can be said in a place like Baltimore. Baltimore gets killed on the news nationally. And you can say the same, but it's so many positive things that come from that city. And there's so many positive things people do within that community that we'll never hear about. And it's like when I think about Detroit, man, it's like we are another one of those major cities that gets killed by the propaganda machine.
Yeah, and I was just looking at because I signed up to – initially I was banging on, like, the My Brother's Keeper program, and then eventually I, like, signed up to be a part of it because I just think that it's a – I mean, at the end of the day, if they pumping money into anything that has to do with black men, I feel like I need to be a part of it. But I'm saying that to say that Detroit was one of the main areas that received a massive amount of funding for the My Brother's Keeper program, you know, from the White House and all of those foundations that were a part of funding that program, because the federal government really didn't fund it that much. It was mostly like private foundations if you keep the extra 100. But it's funny because like that type of story isn't making the news when it comes to, you know, the city, but the story about the lady that, you know, did a situation with her kids definitely making the rounds. And so it is really one of those things where it's easier to talk about negativity as opposed to positivity. But for me, I don't really understand that because I like to hear good stuff. I like to hear somebody doing well. If it's a good story, if it's something positive going on, like, I would much rather have that pumped in my ears as opposed to hearing about somebody that put some kids or whoever in the freezer. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. But
exactly,
for the reason, you know, folks like to sensationalize those things, and that's kind of what it comes down to. And unfortunately, that's sad. But for me, I guess the thing that, and the kind of – transition a little bit. Why continue to believe? And that was one of the things that I asked myself when I moved out of the city, when I was like 26, I think I moved out of Detroit, and then I moved back to the area a year or so ago, and then whatever. But I was asking myself, why continue to believe? You know, why should, with all the stuff that people tell me is going on, or I see going on to a certain extent, why should I continue to believe in the potential of the city? And it's because the people are genuinely, wholeheartedly have, for the most part, the same hopes, dreams, and not even for the most part, have the same hopes, dreams, and aspirations as everybody else that you come across. They want to be happy. They want financial freedom. They want safety. You know what I mean? Like, our people in Detroit want the same thing that everybody else wants. It just so happens that when you get pushed into a situation where everybody around you is, you know, forced into generational poverty, struggling, you hurt the people closest to you. And so I kept asking myself, why should I keep doing this work when it's so daunting? You know, I was doing my Swag Factory program, and I would be expecting, you know, 10 or 15 young brothers to show up to the program, and then it'd be like two dudes. I'm like, man, I got like 2 hours worth of work that I'm ready to give out. You feel me? Like, I got some heat right
yeah.
now. And then it's like two dudes to show up. And then it's like, oh, man, then you get deflated. Like, should I still do this? Should we cancel it? You know, should we just move it to another day? You start doubting your people. You start doubting, you know, the propaganda machine that you just mentioned becomes the monkey on your back. You start to subconsciously let that creep into your psyche. You feel me? And then it's like, man, all right, no, I can't do that. Like, these two brothers took time out of their schedule to show up to talk about what's going on in our city and to become better people. And these might be the two guys that ultimately change the conditions of all of our people. And you always, for me personally, I always have to have that mentality. Like, these two people, this one person might be the person that I talk to that changes everything. I mean, you know, like, I feel like every person that I encounter, every black man that I encounter is Malcolm X or MLK or whoever you think the greatest leader is in your own mind. And every black woman that I encounter is Maya Angelou. Like, that's the only way I could keep it going in my mind when I think about why I continue to believe. But for you, Wells, like, what keeps you going? You know, like, what keeps hope for you and our people in particular in the city?
Number one thing that keeps me focused on Detroit and keeps me believing in Detroit, if you've ever met anybody from Detroit, everybody from Detroit has that. It's kind of funny. You think about the Dave Dash interview that everybody laughs at. That is everybody from Detroit. Everybody wants to be their own boss, and they want to take over something because they don't want to work for anyone else. I've never seen a place where so many driven people exist. A lot of people have a lot to learn, but the thing is, it's always easier to reel someone in than to start them up. Like, some people don't have that drive already. People from Detroit, they are built with that drive. They are built to, yo, I'm going to do what I have to do to be successful. And that's something that always makes me believe in our people and believe in the people within the city. You talk about blue-collar, hardworking people, that's Detroit. And that's something that I'll never, like, take for granted. And I take pride in that myself because, like, it's always never a question of effort. It's an attitude thing when it comes to people from Detroit. And it's like, because I know they're going to maximize effort, I believe in them. And that's why, like, you follow me on Instagram, you follow me on Twitter and stuff. That's why I always talk about supporting entrepreneurs, supporting black businesses, supporting each other. And it's up to us to do that. And that's why I'm always down to support. And I'm always going to have faith and confidence in my brothers and sisters from Detroit. because I know they have that winner's mentality in that regard. It's like sometimes things happen and people get down, they kind of lose their way a little bit, but at the same time, these are some of the most resilient people ever. And it's like I love that, and I feel and I love having that as a part of my makeup and my psyche. And I love and I feel that all the time, and I see that. That's why no matter where I'm at, whether I'm in Atlanta or in Texas, or I'm just hanging out, or I'm just traveling somewhere, when you around somebody from Detroit, you know it. It's like you see it, you know it. It's like you can tell by the way they walk. You see the vibe. Yo, he's from Detroit. It's like you could tell when, like I always say, man, you know, D.C. just the tourist place that it is. You could always tell somebody with that Detroit. You see somebody with those all white Air Force Ones or that Detroit fitted. You know where they from. It's like you can see it in their swag.
Hey, bro, hold on real quick. Like, quick story on that, though. Like, when I was in Atlanta for the Final Four a couple of years ago when Michigan was playing Syracuse, and me and the homies was walking down the street, and there was this dude on the corner selling CDs. He was like, y'all down here, we had on Michigan gear. He was like, y'all down here to support Michigan? We like, yeah, bro. He was like, man, y'all got to buy my CD then. He was like, we was like, why? He was like, y'all from the D? We like, yeah, we from the D. You know what I'm saying? What you mean? he was like, me too. We like, man, you just telling us that so we can buy your CD. Then he was like, man, look at this fitted. And he showed us this fitted. And he was like, where else can you get this fitted other than the D? He was like, man, this is Detroit fitted. And it was like one of those, like, custom-made, like, Detroit fitted that you know you can't get nowhere else but in the city. And it was absolutely hilarious because it was just what you said. Like, when you know a cat hustling like that, you know he's from the city because he pulled out that hat and he was like, yeah, you're from the city. I know this CD probably whack, bro, but here you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to support you anyway. Cause you
it's
know
like
what
that
saying?
Pride,
you,
man.
Yeah, like, you are a brother. You from the city, so we're going to go ahead and support you on that. But real quick, Wells, dish out a quick solution on this, man. I mean, it's really not typical from, you know, of what we would do, but in terms of just supporting our city and keeping it moving, what would you offer, man?
Man, it go back to the same thing. We got to continue to support each other financially. It's like we have to be assets to the city. It's like if there's nonprofits, there's opportunities to do work within the city, do it. If you can mentor within the city, do it. It's like we have to do our job and support black businesses. It goes back to the same thing, man. We have to empower one another. And as long as we continue to empower one another, we'll continue to grow and you'll continue to see that pride. And it's like you said, man, with like my man with the hat. He pulled out that hat with the biggest Kool-Aid smile on his face. I can already imagine it. It's like that's what you love to see. It's like people from Detroit have a different pride than you will find from people from other places. It's like I always kind of tease a couple of my boys for the way they dress because they still dress like they're from Detroit. But it's so funny because you know what that is. It's like I don't even need to tell you they dress like they're from Detroit because you know what it looks like. It's like it's just
right, funny. Right.
But again, man, like I said, continue to support each other, man. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's along the same lines, but I think it's to continue to believe in yourself and the people from the community because it's easy to get jaded. It's easy to allow outside influences to take over your thought process, you know, to allow situations that other people tell you are going on or that you see going on to affect the way that you view the brothers and sisters from Detroit when in actuality that's just a small snippet of what we are. You know what I'm saying? A brother or sister hurting somebody is a small piece of what we are. But continuing to believe and know that there's actually a lot of good things going on and a lot of tremendous people doing great work that really truly care about you and the city as a whole is the way to go, because once you lose hope, once you lose that belief, everything else is a wrap. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, for taking this trip down memory lane with us to Detroit City. And this really applies to every inner city in America. Thanks for tuning in to TNJ Radio, and you know, God is love.